So Shane, I was wondering if the replacement potentially for Art Staple, what do you think one of the interview questions is going to be?
Can you handle Isle's Twitter?
Exactly.
And we are back here on the Secondary Assist Podcast. Shane Blackburn, Andy Graziano. I have a hard enough time handling Islanders Twitter. I hope that Staple's replacement can, but we are here. We'll give you about 35, 40 minutes of New York Islanders talk. Only a couple of games to talk about since we last spoke, with the All-Star break being over the weekend, which I avoid Sunday at almost all costs. I did enjoy most of Saturday this year. The only thing I didn't enjoy was that Josh Bailey was in the fastest skater competition and not Matt Barzell, but that's a different story.
Josh Bailey was in the fastest skater? Are you serious?
Yeah, he actually didn't do terrible either.
I didn't watch it because we had gone to Atlantic City on Friday night to celebrate my son's 21st birthday. Had a terrific time, and I was kind of not feeling too well the rest of Saturday. At my age, you don't quite recover like you used to. It's not like you wake up and have a bacon, egg, and cheese, and you feel better. For me, it's more like a 2-3 day recovery. So I didn't watch any of it.
I only watch Saturday. I only enjoy the skills comp. I think the All-Star game is absolutely ridiculous and terrible.
And they are in all sports, to be fair. The Pro Bowl, the MLB All-Star game. The MLB All-Star game is maybe okay, but the reality is they're playing for nothing but cash. Like, they need more of that.
They should donate the cash to Shane Blackburn.
Or do it like, remember baseball? No, who was it that used to do baseball, right? Used to do the winner gets home field advantage in the World Series or something like that?
That's so dumb, too. Don't even
No, but I didn't say it was dumb or not. I'm saying that it's at least they're playing the game for something.
No, that's
You know what I mean?
Dumb.
Well, you got to play the game for something other than cash. Let's give more cash to rich people. Yay! Smart. I can use some of that.
I can use a lot of that.
Right, correction. I can use a lot of that as well.
Well, let's get into the Islanders for a couple of minutes here. I mean,
for like 2 minutes.
Tell me it isn't typical Islanders. You beat Chicago 7-3.
You said it. Dude,
I said they were going to lose to Arizona and beat Vegas.
They did get the point in Arizona, but you called it exactly how it happened. They did officially lose, so you did call it.
Islanders
now, granted, they didn't win convincingly in Vegas. Let's put a cherry
over
on the top
a win
of that.
Over arguably
one of the best team in hockey at home too, at their home. Pretty impressive. I mean, they did give up 39 shots again. They did get swarmed in the third period. I mean, that ice was tilted in the third, but they hung tough. And Yaro Halak had a terrific night. They got a goal from Ross Johnston, who now has one less goal in 19 less games than Joshua Hosang. Troll job right there. it was a good win. It was a feel good win, more than a convincing win for the fans or in the style of the win. I think it was a good feel good win for the team. And you know what? However it played out again exactly the way you said it would. 5 out of 6 points on the road trip. Can't complain about that.
Definitely can't complain, especially when 2 of those 5 came against the team you were supposed to lose to.
Right. Now, they never win in Chicago, and as you said, beating Vegas in Vegas.
And you don't get 2 points in the game you should have gotten 2 points in. But like you right. said, at least you salvage 1 point in that game, and you beat arguably the second-best team in the NHL right now behind Tampa Bay in the Vegas right. Golden Knights. That game was weird.
The Arizona game I thought was weird.
The Arizona the Vegas game was just
odd. The Vegas game went exactly as I predicted. Exactly as I thought it would, in the sense that the Islanders got pretty much outplayed from the mid-second period on. And they got a couple of breaks. They got solid goaltending, and they hung on by the seat of their pants.
Isn't it nice to this late in the season to say they got solid goaltending?
Yeah, and it's, you know what? Halak's been good the last couple of weeks. Forget the statistics.
Ride him.
It's the team defense. We've talked about this ad nauseum. I don't even feel like talking about it anymore because it makes me actually physically nauseous. But Halak's been good. Halak's been solid. He's got some big games. Still has a brain fart every now and then. Lets in a bad goal. But look, you got him for another couple of months, and then I really, really can't see him coming back unless you're really convinced that you're going to see nothing out of Linus Soderstrom next year. We know Ilya Sorokin's not coming, so
Do we have any update on when that might happen?
Who, Sorokin or Soderstrom? Yeah. Sorokin? We still don't know. You know, we still know that he signed in the KHL for till I think 2021 was his extension, I believe. But we don't know if there's an out clause there. We don't. We can't confirm. We can't confirm that.
2021. So the Islanders
I believe
would
that's
play,
how long the deal was.
The Islanders would be playing 20 games in Long Island.
Yeah, let's get into that. Over? I go. Oh, you just started the firestorm. Now here it comes. Here it comes. You had to start.
Ugh. This is the most ridiculous thing ever. Yes. No. Maybe.
I don't know. You go first. Let me think about it. You give me your opinion on it first.
It feels minor league.
Okay.
It feels like AHL, ECHL. It feels very minor league to not have a home rink, to have not only not have a home rink, but to have two quote unquote home rinks where you're going to. For this season, I think it's 12 games they're going to play in the Coliseum, which isn't even a professional-sized rink. Isn't even a professional-quality rink from what I understand. But Barkley wants the Islanders out. The Islanders clearly want out. That's why they bid on and eventually won the Belmont bid.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels very minor league to play 12 games at the Coliseum, and then over the next 2 years after that, are going to play 20 and then 21 or 21 and then 20. I don't think they've determined how they're going to split it up yet. It feels very minor league. I don't know if this is the best way to keep John Tavares in New York. I know that Belmont is essentially set in stone. They do have a plan going forward, but that's 4 years from now when John Tavares is going to be 30, I believe, if my math is correct. I'm really bad at that.
31, I think.
31, that's even worse. Does John Tavares want to spend the next 4 years of his career not having a home rink? Not only not having a are they not in a quality rink. It's not just the Barclays isn't good for hockey argument anymore. Now you're in two home rinks. Now, first of all, Barclays is going to be empty. You can't tell me there's going to be anybody at Barclays when people are just going to go to the 21 and 20 games at the Nassau Coliseum. Not next year. Obviously, there's only going to be 12, but the 2 years after that. Barclays is going to be absolutely empty.
I want to read a tweet from Dan Saracini at Culture of Losing, who writes for Lighthouse Hockey. Terrific fan, brutally honest when he has to be. And I couldn't agree more. It kind of embodied, I think, what every Islander fan is probably feeling at the moment. And this was his rant this morning. We hoped for details about this idea that made it seem like something that makes sense. Now we have even more questions. The Islanders haven't acted like a major league team since 1984 and will continue to be minor league for the foreseeable future, apparently. And what happens after they move to Belmont? Will they still play games at the Coliseum to benefit the cranks that won't drive an extra 20 minutes down Hempstead Turnpike for a game? Will they pay Barclays people money because their feelings were hurt? Where does it end? This franchise deserves every ounce of ridicule it gets, every ounce. I'm glad the 2,000 people that didn't want to go to Brooklyn are happy. Maybe they'll show up to a game or two in Nassau next season. The message is pretty clear. Complain about the arena and the Islanders will bend over backwards for you. Complain about Jason Chimera having 9 points in 50 games and they're not interested. I don't know. I'm just so tired of everything this team does. Nothing is simple. Maybe it will be after Belmont is done and this is all a distant memory. I hope that's the case. I'm too old for this roller coaster. I just hate being angry all the time or feeling like I have to be angry because someone else is angry about something I'm not angry about. It's not me. Following a hockey team shouldn't change a person's personality. You know, I thought it was an intelligent, well-thought-out rant. Dan's a good guy. Like I said, he's a passionate fan. He's a terrific writer. He does a lot of great stuff over there at Lighthouse, and I thought that was spot on. I thought that just, again, embodied an Islander fan in a couple of tweets. And how they're feeling right now. I think frustration has kind of overflowed the pot now. I think it's just boiled over. And I happen to agree with what Dan tweeted and what you just said. I think it's a joke. I think the Islanders, to Dan's point, are they look like a minor league franchise, a minor league organization with this joke of a deal. And it creates, as Larry Brooks wrote in the New York Post last week, it creates a logistical nightmare for the National Hockey League. It creates a logistical nightmare for fans. It creates a logistical nightmare for visiting teams coming in. How does this affect the Islanders' ability to sign free agents over the next couple of years as this deal is being worked out? I know if I'm a free agent and I'm 27 years old and I'm looking to go to a team, that this quote-unquote agreement makes me eliminate the Islanders right off the bat. Right off the bat. As far as John Tavares is concerned, look, we've talked about this ad nauseum too, and it's getting ridiculous at this point. Nobody knows what's in John Tavares' heart and soul. Nobody knows what he's thinking. Everything he's saying to the media is scripted to exactly the message that John and Pat Bersone want to put out. I cannot say that as more clear. What they are putting out to the media is exactly what they want to put out to the media. So stop hanging on every single word John says, because at the end of the day, he still might stay. And at the end of the day, he still might leave, no matter what he says now. You know, he talks about, oh, he lives 5 minutes away. We have a practice rink right up the street. We'll play some games at the Coliseum, which is right up the street. But then I still got to go to Brooklyn on certain games. It sounds like a shit show to me, to be honest with you. It sounds like a complete shit show. And again, it's just, look, I don't get frustrated at this stuff anymore since I turned to media, because, again, I've told people this before, media takes the fandom right out of you. Fortunately or unfortunately, it does. It erases it. You have to be objective. You have to be smart. You have to be professionally critical. It just, you know, I don't watch games like a fan anymore. If they win and lose, it really doesn't matter to me. I get up the next morning and I go to my day job. I pay my mortgage, watch the next game, and try to objectively analyze and write about it. That's pretty much where you're at when you're in media. Doesn't mean you're not a fan anymore, but you fan much differently. You know what I mean? You fan with a lot less passion. Don't get me wrong. If they won the cup, I'd probably cry. I'd probably be there and cry, which would be even more embarrassing. But
you better tweet a video of that.
That would be amazing. But so I think that's when it would maybe come back in some sort of aspect for me. But, you know, this news doesn't affect me either way, only in the sense that I won't be attending games at Nassau Coliseum, that's all, or NYCB Live, whatever the hell they want to call that tinfoil minor league rink, because that's exactly what it is. It's got like 11 luxury boxes. It's got literally a minor league scoreboard. I know people don't care about that, but it's the truth. The concourse is still, what, 2 feet wide. Bathroom lines are out the frickin' door. Concessions are terrible. They don't even have a press box. They have to build a press box now. They don't even have one. They have one section.
To be fair, there's not really a press box at Barclays either, right? Isn't it a section?
Yeah, well, it's section 212 and 213. They carved it out like... They turned that into a press box. Yeah, they turned two sections into the press box is what they did. They can't do that at the Coliseum because it only seats 13,000. Can't afford to take seats out for press. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they have to build a press box now. I'm telling you, man, it's bad. It's just.
And like, and all the people who are really, really excited that they're going to be coming back to Long Island.
I get it. You live 5 minutes away. I get it. Your team is coming back, even if it's for 10, 20, 20.
Exactly.
I get it.
I understand why you're excited, but you have to understand why it's not a good thing.
They're not going to make any money, even if they sell. If people talk about attendance. Oh, they're going to sell out every game, even a Tuesday versus Arizona, which I doubt. But
it's not where the money comes from.
They might, but they're not going to make any money still. Still. And somebody, I was having an argument / discussion with somebody the other day, that, oh, John Ledecky should give this to the fans. I'm like, since when does someone who's rich and predicates his business on making money give anything to anyone? That's not how business works. He wouldn't be rich if he did that.
Be a right? Poor business model.
Right. That's not how it works. He doesn't owe anybody anything. He owes the franchise and the organization the best he can give, which is so far what he's done. He's done everything Islander fans have asked right now. There is not a bad thing you can say about Jonathan Ledecky right now. And if you do, you're just an idiot. I'm sorry to be that brunt about it, but you're just
I'm going to play devil's advocate here. And I'm just going to say that people are going to come back at you after this podcast and say the only negative you could say is that Garth Snow has a job.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, well, Garth Snow signed the freaking extension, which was given to him by Charles Wong on the way out, which Jonathan Ledecky, it's contractual, people. Jonathan Ledecky has to honor that. If you want to get rid of Garth Snow, you got to buy him out. What does that cost, Shane? Money.
A lot of it.
Right. And not to mention, you're going to bring another GM in, and who knows, John Ledecky doesn't know the league good enough to know even if Dean Lombardi, for instance, would do a better job than Garth Snow. Who knows? We don't even know, right? We don't know. Everyone still thinks Peter Chiarelli's a good GM. Some people do. He's horrible. So you don't know. And I think, at least initially, he was more comfortable with dealing with what he knew. Now, as things go on, I don't think Garth Snow's job is as safe as people like to pretend on social media that it is and give Ledecky crap about it. I do not think his job is that safe right now.
The biggest question for me is who takes that spot?
Who, Snow's spot?
Yeah, you have to have somebody in mind.
I know. I agree.
And
but I don't.
And the guy who should be in Garth Snow's position is now currently running the second best team in the NHL.
Correct. George McPhee. I tend to agree with you there. But again, if, you know, John Ledecky has said all along that I'm going to try to stay out of the hockey side of it. It's not a meddling owner is not a good owner. He told us. He told me right to my face. A meddling owner is not a good owner. He doesn't believe in that. He works on the business model and he leaves the hockey stuff to the hockey people. Now, I can understand if right now he's becoming disillusioned with Garth Snow's performance. I can totally see that. I think that's realistic to think that. That's why I say I don't think Garth Snow's job is that safe right now. I really, really don't. I think this trade deadline that's coming up on February 26th is huge. Huge for Snow. Whether this team makes the playoffs or not is huge for Snow. Obviously, the Tavares situation is huge for Snow.
So does he clean house and get rid of Doug Waite too? Or is this a revamp the front office and see what Doug Waite can do with a new front office? Or is this a completely clean house?
I think they saw a little bit of desperation from Waite. Going back to that OT game where Tavares was out there for like 4 minutes of the five. I don't know if you remember that. It was just maybe a couple weeks ago. I think there might have been some questions there as to just how desperate Doug was getting.
One of the things you do have to take into effect there, though, as an owner and as a fan, is John Tavares has said more than once what he feels about Doug Waite. Mm-hmm. Doug Waite was his mentor when he came into the league. Doug Waite, he lived with Doug Waite in his rookie year. So that's something that you do have to keep in mind where...
But Waite's also a Cappy clone or a Cappy follower.
Right, but at this point right
descendant.
Now, where the Islanders are at right now, if any good owner should go to their premier player, and I know a lot of premier players get flack for this, but any good owner is going to go to their John Tavares and say, hey, we're thinking of letting Doug go. What's your opinion? B, who would you like or what kind of coach would you like it as a replacement? And if John Tavares turns around and says, listen, I'm only going to stay. Now, I don't know if he'll say this, so this is hyperbole and this is just me talking.
Hyperb? Wow.
You like that, right?
Somebody was reading the thesaurus today.
but I don't have any knowledge of this. I don't know John Tavares. I literally have never met him. So this is me just spitballing and talking.
Say hyperbole.
This is just hyperbole. this is just hyperbole. So just take it for what it's worth. But if John Tavares turns around and says, listen, I'm going to stay, but I want Doug Waite to be my coach.
Right.
As John Ledecky, you have to say, okay, I'll give him another shot.
Of course.
You're not going to cut off your nose to spite your face.
I agree.
By firing the coach, even if your best player still wants him. Look at the Cavaliers and LeBron James. LeBron James gets whatever the hell he wants.
Yep.
And it works. They won a championship. They literally won the championship because LeBron James, but they won a championship. If your star player likes somebody, hell, if John Tavares turns around and says, I think Garth Snow's doing a great job, keep him, you freaking keep him.
Yeah. Well, I don't think, like I said, Tavares is a tough nut to crack, and no one's going to crack him at this point. So, unfortunately, fans and media alike are all stuck waiting until sometime in June, maybe, when we finally hear of either an extension or the fact that come July 1st, he's going to be opening himself to bids, which are going to be flying off the table left and right, coming at him hot and heavy, very expensive, and I think he's going to be able to pretty much... I'm thinking probably based on the cap going up and what teams have room, there could be 10 to 15 teams that could afford him. There could be if they make the right moves internally. It's going to be a tremendous, it'll be a bidding war like we haven't seen. Don't forget, Steven Stamkos was expected to be that bidding war and never made it there the day before he signed.
We have to hope that the same thing happens.
Tavares is, if he makes it to July 1, will be the biggest bidding war the league has ever seen for a 27-year-old in his prime talent, top 10 talent. It'd be like something we've never seen. It'd be like ripping a page out of the Trading Wayne Gretzky book. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that Tavares is or will ever be Gretzky, because he won't, but that I'm talking on the same lines.
Well, so here's my, so I got the lose to Arizona, beat Vegas prediction right last week, right?
Yep.
So here's my prediction.
Oh boy, and you're spot on so far on the Barzal prediction as well.
If he gets to 80, I'm gonna get on a plane and fly to Vegas that night.
How about this? I'm gonna say this so all our listeners can hear it. They will all be the witnesses to this. If Matt Barzal produces, as you said, if Matt Barzal gets to 80 points this year, I'll buy you a bottle of your choice.
Ooh.
Everyone heard it. They're the witnesses. Because I think that was such an aggressive stepping out on a limb prediction that you deserve something if that comes to fruition.
I'm going to take you up on that.
So I will buy you a bottle of your choice if that happens.
So then if this prediction comes true...
No, I'm not going to get you nothing. It depends. I didn't hear the prediction yet, so go ahead.
The Islanders are going to trade John Tavares for a ridiculous return. They're gonna get a fantastic return, and then sign him on July 1st.
No. Somehow, while that sounds so wonderful,
it's not gonna happen.
That would be so Islanders for that not to happen.
That is true. But wouldn't it also be so Islanders for that to happen?
I mean, look.
I would certainly explore it. Think about what Islanders Twitter would look like from whenever the trade deadline is, because I don't know what it is off the top of my head, until July 1st.
That's a good question, though, because how does the league prevent true collusion in that case?
Look what the Yankees did it with.
No, I know.
What the hell's his name?
Chapman.
Thank you.
Now, how does the league prevent true collusion in that case?
You can't.
Meaning. How does the league prove, like, Gart Snow could go to Tavares tomorrow and say, look, we're going to give you a chance to win the Stanley Cup. We're going to try to trade you to Vegas or Tampa, right? I'm just throwing stuff out there and seeing if it sticks. This is nothing other than just talking. We're going to give you a chance to win the Cup. We're going to trade you to one of four contending teams that are in that we believe are in contention for the Cup. You tell me what team you prefer. But then you have to make a commitment to us, a verbal commitment, that you will sign with us for this amount on July 1st. Now, he wouldn't be able to get the extra year, because technically he wouldn't be re-signing with his original team.
Right.
So he would only be able to get 7 years.
But he'd be coming back to a stronger team, because they would have gotten whatever return they got for him.
How would the league prove, even though that is...
You can't.
Collusion 101... How the hell would the league prove that?
You really can't. Unless you have someone in those negotiations, you can't.
That rats you out.
Which means that would have to be a Garth Snow, John Tavares one-on-one.
And as you said, Twitter would be unbearable because nobody would know that that took place.
Well,
nobody would
still,
know that that's going to happen.
I still wouldn't be on. Let's see. When's my last Islanders tweet? I literally don't even know. I tweeted that I was glad the NHL isn't sending pros
to the Olympics.
To the Olympics.
Yep.
Which, by the way, it has nothing to do with Tavares getting hurt. I think I'm going to enjoy watching kids play.
I agree. I'll be in Italy, so I won't be able to watch it. Well, it should be on. Maybe it'll be on.
So a week ago, 6 days ago, I tweeted out last week's podcast from the Secondary Assist Podcast Twitter.
At Secondary Pod.
2 weeks ago, I tweeted out the podcast from the At Secondary Pod Twitter. I literally haven't tweeted about the Islanders in a month.
Yeah.
And I feel so much better.
Much happier for you. Healthier. You're breathing better. You're... anxiety level went down. Your heart rate slowed.
I did tweet one thing, though. I don't know if you saw this. So, I'm a golf fan.
I think I might have muted you, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm a golf fan, and PGA Tour tweeted out a picture of the 10th hole at Torrey Pines.
Yep.
And they said, number 10, par 4, 416 yards. What are you hitting? And they put a picture of the tee box, and they showed out to the fairway. And my reply was a tree.
Okay.
And it got a lot of love from people I don't know.
My son's trying to get me to play golf, but I haven't taken it up yet.
It is the greatest worst sport ever.
I'm more of a mini golf guy.
No, you know what's great about it? The 75 terrible shots you hit.
But that one beautiful one you admire forever.
Once you hit the one good shot.
Yeah.
You forget about everything else. And if you're
I'm more of like a Monster indoor mini golf kind of guy.
Which Monster mini golf is fantastic. We are not sponsored by Monster mini golf, but it is fantastic.
I'm a Monster mini golf kind of guy.
I've been doing the indoor trampoline places.
Oh, you've been doing one? Oh. You know what my son wanted to take me to? That golf arcade? What the hell's it called?
Top Golf?
Yes.
Yo, Top Golf is awesome.
Yes.
Top Golf is absolutely awesome.
You got to shoot for like targets and stuff. You rent the cube for like an hour and you got to shoot for targets.
I went to Top Golf 2 weeks ago when it was like 17 degrees, and that was the stupidest thing I've ever done in my life. I was golfing in a North Face because it was freezing. And I still had a ton of fun. So I can only imagine what it's like when it's not miserably cold out.
Yeah. We'll probably go when he comes back from school in May. He's done with his year in May. So
is
early
he coming
May.
Back with your PS4 or is he leaving it there?
I have my own now.
Wow. Look at you.
When they were running that huge deal on Black Friday, I ended up getting a 1T PS4 for $199.
Very nice.
So I bought my own. So he's got the one. He's got his. He has ours at school and I have mine here.
Mine's actually unplugged.
I've been playing the shit out of Assassin's Creed the last couple of weeks.
I haven't even turned mine on.
Oh, I love mine.
I just don't have time.
Well, don't forget, we have the empty nest here. So it's like when my wife's on the phone or if she's dibble-dabbling around the house, you know, I'll come in here and kind of zone out for an hour or two, put the headphones on. And
did you just say dibble-dabble?
I did say dibble-dabble. I don't know what that meant.
Dilly-dilly?
No, not dilly-dill. She's dilly-dillying for sure, but... I don't know what the hell I meant by dibble-dabble.
I have no idea what you meant either.
I didn't quite know what to say there, and it kind of just came out, so forgive me. It kind of wasn't a conscious effort to say dibble-dabble, but hey, maybe we'll get that shit trending on Twitter. Who knows?
Dibble-dabble. God help us.
All right, hashtag dibble-dabble.
When was the last time 50 games into the season the Islanders had three 50-point scorers?
We need Eric Hornick for that one. He's the only one that knows that answer.
Tavares has 57, Bailey 54, Barzell 51. Bailey's 54 is in 46 games, by the way. Josh Bailey, all-star. I literally filmed...
By the way, do yourself a favor and go back and rewatch the Danny Heatley all-star videos on YouTube where they dubbed him. Tell me you've never seen those.
I've never seen them.
Go to YouTube when we're off the show. Go to YouTube and type in Danny Heatley all-star. Watch the videos. I'm laughing already just thinking about it. And that's all I think about now. When I think about Josh Bailey, I think about those Danny Heatley All-Star YouTube videos. Just watch it and you'll see what I mean.
Tweet it as soon as we stop.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievably funny. It's unbelievably funny. That and I was watching on the way home tonight, I was watching old SNL videos of Will Ferrell when he was... When they do the, I don't know if you've ever seen it, they do the two professors in the hot tub. And they try to lure other couples into romantic encounters in the hot tub.
Oh, boy.
Oh, it's hysterical. I was actually laughing out loud on the bus, like people looking at me and stuff. I'm pretty wacky in that sense. Jesus, I have an odd sense of humor.
God help us all.
Odd sense of humor. But what's not funny is that Josh Bailey was an all-star and participated in his first game. It was
it
a great... tremendous memory for Josh. He had his son there with him. There was a picture of JT with Josh.
Adorable, by the way.
Holding his son. It was a really, really nice moment for Josh, and I couldn't be happier for the guy, really.
Oh, by the way, John Tavares is human. He's not a robot.
How so?
When Bailey did the fastest skater and came back to the bench, Tavares was hysterical laughing when he came back to the bench. So he is human. He has actual human emotions. He is not just a robot.
Look, who knows? Look, Josh's chances of getting back to the All-Star game are probably slim unless him and JT sign together and they continue to play together.
Or JT leaves and they sign Bailey as the consolation prize and he becomes...
To a 7-year, $49 million deal, yeah. Right. Right.
Oh, God. This July is going to be fantastic.
It is. It is going to be pretty fun, to be honest with you. It's going to be pretty fun because, again, as I said before, it's my job to not get worked up personally about this kind of stuff.
You know, it's going
to
be great. So
it's going to be funny to kind of sit back and enjoy as I'm sitting in my – this will be July, so I'll be sitting in my backyard probably on my recliner next to the pool with a beer and just watching people go absolutely apeshit.
You know, it's going to be great when Tavares and Bailey sign with the Rangers.
Hey, stranger things have happened. I don't see John doing that, but you can't rule it out. You can't say it's you can't say it definitely won't happen.
All right, we got four games before our next podcast. We've got Florida tomorrow, Toronto Wednesday, back to back there. Saturday, Columbus. Monday, Nashville.
Big games. Big. And I will be leaving for Italy Monday afternoon. I'll be on a 4:55 flight out of JFK, so I will not be on this podcast for the next 2 weeks.
Thank God. I wonder who I'm going to get it with.
You will have either Shane solo or this week Shane and I are going to discuss guest co-hosting options.
I think I should just pick a random person from Islanders Twitter and let them yell for a couple minutes.
You could actually do that. That might actually be interesting. If you picked up someone off Twitter and just dialed them in and let them rant for a little bit, it might actually be an interesting show.
There will be a lot of people on Twitter who would be upset if they didn't get picked over random Islanders Twitter.
Well, they have to understand. It's going to be like a lottery type thing. You only have two spots, right? One for next week and one for the week after.
No, hell no. Spots. Oh. I'd have about six spots. There is 0% chance I'm picking one person to do 45 minutes with me. They'll get about 6 minutes each.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't even think about that. You could do you could do four winners.
Exactly. So you could do two people, for each show.
Two at 15 minutes.
Start solo. Let person
do
A
solo
scream
for like 5 minutes.
Let
and then
person
do 15,
B
15, and you're done.
Exactly.
So pick four winners. That's a good idea.
All right. So tomorrow night home, Florida. Who wins?
Tomorrow night home, Islanders win.
All right. Wednesday, Toronto in Toronto.
Lose.
Who wins? Okay. Saturday, home, Columbus.
They get a point.
Monday home, Nashville.
Lose.
Okay, I'm going to go tomorrow, lose to Florida, go into Toronto, win.
Win on the second leg of the back-to-back?
Get a point from Columbus, and then they're going to absolutely massacre Nashville. They'll win like 6-1. Okay. And then
they do play
the
Columbus
Buffalo
pretty.
Thursday.
They do play Columbus pretty tough, but they seem to get some bad breaks against them. So that's why I went with the point. The reason is, I think they'll come out strong tomorrow at home against Florida. I think that I won't be in Brooklyn, by the way. I'll be on the IR with an upper body injury day to day. Wednesday, I think the second half of the back to back in Toronto against the Leafs. It's hard to see. Even though the Leafs have been struggling, they've really come back down to earth big time. I just don't see that working out well. And then, like I said, they play Columbus pretty tough. That's why I went with the point. And then Nashville is one of the best teams in hockey. And, yeah, we've seen that we have the ability to beat some of those really, really good teams. So that was kind of a toss-up for me.
Well,
I could have went either way.
The Islanders beat a really, really good team almost every night themselves.
Ah, there you go. Well said. Well said, Shane.
I'm proud of that one. On that note, we're going to end this. He's Andy Graziano. Follow him at @AndyGraz_SNY. I'm Shane Blackburn.
Or don't.
Follow me at SBlackburn26. But
or
I mean,
don't.
I don't tweet anymore, so have fun with that. I just retweet crap I find amusing. Follow the Secondary Sis podcast, though, at Secondary Pod, so that way you know on Tuesday mornings when this podcast comes out. Till next week. Well, for 2 weeks... You won't hear Andy Graziano. He'll be in the motherland of Italia. So you'll get me next 2 weeks. 3 weeks from now, we'll have Andy Graziano back. But until next week, he's Andy. I'm Shane. You've been listening to the Secondary Assist Podcast. Have you been thinking about hosting a podcast? Blueberry.com makes it as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1, produce your podcast. 2, write your blog post. 3, publish. Blueberry's WordPress integration puts you in control. You own it all. Blueberry is just there to make it easy. Head over to blueberry.com, that's BLUBRRY.com, and use promo code IELTS for 1 month free.